Jesus changed that, and it's good to be here. And as always, I am grateful for the opportunity of being able to share the Word of God with the church. And please keep praying for our ministry. I don't know if you noticed, but there's been a few people visiting us, and pray for them, pray for our ministry, and for the Spanish community. That the Lord just, we just have to do His work. He will give the increase. All right, so please pray for us, okay? And thank you for your prayers. Amen. All right. So this Bible, by the way, it has a column in English and another one in Spanish. And I knew that he was going to get in trouble, but I stayed quiet because I wanted to see his reaction. But it's right there. It's a great Bible. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And our message tonight is just a simple message, nevertheless, very important for us. And we're going to be speaking about this man called Ezra and some of the things that he did in order to serve God, right? And I have titled my message, The Scribe, The Scribe. And of course, the scribe is Ezra. He was a priest, and he was also a scribe, okay? Now let's read our verse. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your presence here tonight. And we just pray that everything that we are doing here may be to glorify Jesus. And I just pray now that you help me and use me and just fill me with your spirit in order for me to be able to speak the things that we need to hear tonight. Help us to understand and to receive your word in our hearts and to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chapter 7 and verse 10 says again, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So this man Ezra was a priest and a scribe that lived at the time when the remnant of Israel was going back to Jerusalem after the deportation. The Bible says that he was a direct descendant of the chief priest Aaron. It also says that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. It also says that the hand of God was upon him. And it also says that he had God's law in his hand. This is the type of man that we're going to be talking about. This man was commissioned by God to go back to Jerusalem and lead a great task. In our message tonight, we will briefly see, as our text reads, that he had fully prepared himself to serve the Lord. And Ezra prepared himself to study the Word of God in order to deliver his message from God to the people of God. That's basically what we're going to be seeing here tonight. And that takes me to my first point, the preparation of the heart. The Bible says that for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law. You see, preparedness is key in taking in order to be able to do any task. It is a whole lot better for you to get somebody who knows what they're doing when you need something. If you have a problem at home with your plumbing system, you will, of course, call a plumber. You shouldn't call your neighbor that doesn't know anything about plumbing, because you're going to end up with a bigger mess. How many have? I have become plumbers every now and then, and by the grace of God, I have finished the task. But it's just plumbers are just too expensive. Okay? But it is better to be prepared when you're going to do something. How can you fix a car if you're not prepared or trained as a mechanic? And the same goes to when we're dealing with the Word of God. We as Christians ought to be prepared in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. And as the Bible says, this man had prepared his heart for the task that it was ahead of him. This exercise of preparing his heart was done before the task that he was going to take care of. Now, what was the task? This is what the Bible says in Ezra 7:25. Ezra 7:25. It says, this is the king talking to Ezra. And he said, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, that it is thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, and such as know he the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." So we can see from the Bible that this man had to make very big decisions, and he had the gigantic task of teaching the Word of God to his people. And he prepared his heart for that. There must be a preparation before teaching the Word of God. Nehemiah is a contemporary man with Ezra. And they both lived in the around the same time, and they both went to Jerusalem to do different works. Nehemiah's work was more in the political sense of things. Ezra's work was more in the religious aspect of the people. So he had to prepare his heart. Now, what is the heart? Okay? Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines heart as follows. The heart is a hollow muscular organ of vertebrate animals that by its rhythmic contraction acts as a force pump, maintaining the circulation of blood. In other words, the heart keeps you alive. Okay? Now, when we see the word heart in the Bible, not only the heart in the Bible means the physical organ, but it also has a spiritual application in its meaning in the Bible. The Hebrew word is the word libab. And this is what the Hebrew word means. On the physical sense, it means the heart as the most interior organ. But also in the spiritual sense, it means in the midst, the mind, the understanding of man. So many times when the Bible speaks about the heart of man, it's not just talking about the organ. It's talking about the most inner part of man. Now, the King James translates this word, labab, in the following manner. 231 times as heart, 5 times as mind, 4 times as mind, 3 times as understanding. Okay? Now, when the King James uses this word, this is what it means. The inner man, mind, the will, the soul, understanding. Okay? So basically, it's the most inner part of the man. It's talking about the soul. So when the Bible makes reference to the soul, many times it had to the heart, many times has to do with the soul. And in this case, what this man had prepared himself was his soul to be able to go and serve the Lord with the task that he had ahead. You see, it's very important to keep our souls in a secure place. And Ezra knew that. Proverbs 2:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And it's talking about the soul. And Proverbs 8:36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So, if we don't keep our hearts for God, if we don't keep our souls for God, we're committing a violent act against our soul. That word wrong in the Hebrew is the following word. It's kamas. And kamas means to do violence, to treat violently, to do wrong. In other words, the word wrong in this passage has to do with something that is violent. How many of us like violent things? I don't. Because violent things are bad. Who agrees? Anything that is violent is bad. It's not good. Now, our souls must be cared for. Now, Jesus comes, and when a sinner repents of his or her sin, Jesus saves that soul. And that soul now is secured for all eternity. That's it. It's done with. Now, we belong to Jesus for all eternity. Now, the soul is something that also we as men or people have to take care of throughout our lives. It's like sanctification. It's a process. We are sanctified when we are saved, but we go through a sanctification process through life. It's the same as conversion. We are converted when we are saved, but we also go through a process of conversion through the Christian life. And the soul is something that we need to take care through our whole lives with a lot of jealousy. Because the main attack is against our soul. Now, if the devil cannot have our souls now because we're safe, he's going to do everything in order to try and attack our souls. And he will do it in a violent manner. Souls must be cared for. We are always in the danger of attacking our own souls if we neglect to safeguard our most inner self, if we don't do the will of God. We as Christians are always in danger of that. Listen to this. And I think that this is why this man prepared his heart for the task ahead. It is a violent attack to our soul if we don't read the Bible. It is a violent attack to our soul if we don't obey the Bible. It is a violent attack to our soul if we don't pray daily. And it is a violent attack to our soul if we don't come to church. Excuse me. You see, if we don't take care of our souls, we're going to do wrong. And the Bible teaches that word that is wrong is an act of violence. So Ezra had to take care of himself in a way that he kept his heart, his soul, prepared for the Lord. And that's the same thing that we have to do. Ezra knew this, and because of it, he prepared his heart to serve the Lord. The need of readiness was essential for the task ahead. As we read on verse 25, the king told him, "Set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the law of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. A prepared soul is the foundation of an effective service for God. I'm going to say that again. A prepared soul is the foundation for an effective service for God. If you or I, if we want to serve God with all our hearts and with all effectiveness, we have to yield our wills to God and let Him deal with us, and we and just work in our lives and just keep our souls free from corruption. If we're not in the Bible on a daily basis, if we're not coming to church, if we're not praying, we will get corrupted. And that is sin. So this man, called Ezra, prepared his heart. Verse 10. For Ezra has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So in my first point, as I said, this man prepared his heart. And we as Christians have to learn these examples. And we also need to, on a daily basis, prepare our hearts. Now this preparation of his heart didn't happen from one day to another. This is a lifetime practice that took this man to the position that he was. And he was able to do the task that God called him to do. So it's very important to be ready for when God calls you to do something. It's important to be ready when God calls me to do something. It's important to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen? The Bible says that nobody knows when He's coming, but He's coming again. And He's coming soon. And a lot of people are going to be surprised that are not Christians. They haven't repented of their sins. They haven't received Jesus as their Savior. And when millions of people disappear, they're just going to be in awe of what's going on. But there's also going to be Christians that are not going to be prepared for His coming. And they will be ashamed when He comes. Now, I'm talking about Christians, and they're going to go to heaven. Okay? And they will go in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and we all will be judged in front of the judgment seat of Christ for our works. It's not going to be decided who's going to go into heaven or not. The church, Christians, they are already in heaven, and they will be judged for their works. But we are His, and we're going to be always with Him. And in that process, before He comes and take, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a lot of people that are, or Christians that are going to, not going to be prepared for His coming. Can you imagine a Christian in a bar when He comes? That's got to be a horrible feeling when He comes. Or doing whatever we can think about that is sinful, a Christian doing that. That's why every day we must submit ourselves to the Lord and try and do the best that we can living for the Lord. And we can do that by maintaining our soul clean of corruption. So we need to be preparing our soul on a daily basis. Now, why did he do this preparation? To study for the message that he was going to deliver. That's the second point. Verse 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. And to do it. Okay, to put it into practice. And to teach, to train the people of Israel. The word seek is the word darash. And what it means is seek with care. To frequent something, to do something always. That's the meaning of the word seek here. So he was constantly studying the word of God. He was a ready scribe. He knew the word of God. And to get to that level, you need to be studying the word of God on a daily basis. Verse 6 of chapter 7. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Verse 14 says, this is the king talking to Ezra, "For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand." Even his boss knew that this was a man of God and always was involved at some level with the word of God. So he always seek the law of the Lord. The Bible says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." These are words of Jesus. The second thing that he did was, after he sick, he was seeking the word of God for what? To do the word of God. The word "do" is the word "also" in Hebrew. And what this means is accomplish, to produce something, to act with effect in something. So he was a doer of the word, not just a listener or a studier, a person that studied, but a person that actually went and did what God says. Chapter 9 and verse 3, verse 1, sorry, Ezra. Chapter 9 and verse 3. And here we have an example of this man being a doer of the word. Among the many situations that were going on in this time period that he needed to fix, there was an issue regarding the Israelites getting married to people from pagan nations. And this was a problem. It was a direct disobedience to the word of God. Amen. And this is what happened. Verse 1. "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites.'" So they were involved in all kinds of idolatry according to the practices of these nations. Verse 2, "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Ye, the hand of the princes and rulers, have been chief in this trespass." So the problem came all the way from the top, the leaders. They were not giving the good example. All the way down. Verse 3, "And when I heard this," this is Ezra speaking, "when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Now, this is the problem that presented itself to this man. And this is what happened. This is what he ended up doing. If we go to chapter 10 and verse 10, It says the following. Chapter 10 and verse 10. I'm talking about being a doer of the word of God. Chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." Verse 12, "Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so we must do." Amen. So you see, this is a man that had, like I said at the beginning, great tasks ahead of him. And I believe that he was, I don't know what you think about this, but this is a gigantic problem. Amen. In any society. Just imagine separating families. Okay? But he had to stand firm according to the word of God and make decisions. And he did. Because he was honoring God. But I believe that he was able to do that because he prepared himself. Amen. In order to make decisions like that. We're going to have to make tough decisions in our lives. Okay? We're going to have to make them. We already have made them. And tough decisions are always going to come knocking on the door. I don't know about you, but every day I wake up and I say, what's going to happen today? You know, what's the day going to bring today? Sometimes I even think, today may be the last day that I'm in this planet. You know, I mean, we're just here and all of a sudden, poof, we're gone. But we need to be prepared to make hard decisions. We never know what's going to happen. And the example of this man was one that he was able to do what it was required of him. But I think it was done because he had prepared his soul to do so. Amen. We have to do what God says. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Then I come when no man can work. John 9:4. So he prepared himself to seek the law, to do the law, and to teach the law. This word teach in the Hebrew is the word lamad, and this means training. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, just a few pages forward. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13. On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So he was there to train them, to teach them, to make him understand what the Bible or the Word of God says. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ezra knew that in order to be effective in his ministry, he had to prepare himself in the Word of God. The Christian also must prepare his soul to be able to use the Scripture as they are intended to. You see, we need to learn how to use the Bible. Don't get me wrong, God can use anybody. But it's also our task, our responsibility, to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Scriptures. You see, the Bible says that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. And when you got a blade that is not, how do you say when a blade is not? Okay, a blade that is, thank you. When a blade is not sharp, what it will do, it will shred. It will just do damage. It will mess up whatever you're trying to cut. But if you have a sharp blade and you make a cut or an incision, you're going to have a nice cut and a nice line. And that's basically what we can do with the Bible. If we don't know how to use the Bible, we can make a lot of damage to people. It's very important to teach people the right doctrines of God's Word. You see, we need to be able to let people and teach them that salvation is by the grace of God. That is, it's not by works, but it's a gift of God. And we need to be able to find in the Scripture how we can support that. That's being prepared. And then in many other subjects, tongues and prophecy, and I mean, just whatever you can mention. We have the answers in the Bible. We just need to know to be able to locate them and learn them. At the very least, we need to know where they at. If you're like me that are not good with references, then you need to get a good reference Bible so you can find, you know, references. But it's important. And I believe that we're going to be able to be used by God if we prepare our souls and we study the Scriptures. It is very likely, listen, it is very likely that no good message will come out of a poor preparation in the Scriptures. Again, we need to be able to explain, to teach what the Bible really says in any subject. Preparation is key for a well-communicated message. Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always." It doesn't say sometimes or whenever you want or whenever you feel like it. It says always. Amen. "To give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Why do you believe in Jesus? Well, Jesus is my Savior, and I surrender my life to Him, and He changed my life. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Something very, very easy. Well, John 3:16 says. Who doesn't know John 3:16? Even I know it. There's many verses that we can learn to be able to be ready so we can give reason of our hope. As a matter of fact, that is actually one of the reasons why God saved you and saved me, so we can go and give reason of our hope. Amen. And testify and talk to others about Jesus, right, so they can also repent of their sins and be safe. We're going to be done in a few minutes. So, this man prepared his heart, his soul. He prepared it to be able to become a master in the Word of God by seeking and doing and teaching. And he did all of this because when the time came, at this specific time, this specific event in history, he was able to deliver God's message to his people. And that's my last point. Nehemiah 8, 3 and 4 says the following. If you're in Nehemiah there, just Just go back one page, chapter 8, 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Okay? And morning was probably, I don't know, 6 a.m., 7 a.m. until midday. That's a few hours. Okay? How many? 4 or 5 hours? Reading. Before the man and the woman and those people. Before the man and the woman and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood, and there's a bunch of names that I'm not even going to even try and read. Okay? But they stood over there in this place to teach the word of God, to deliver a message of the word of God. And verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And verse 6 says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. So this man had to deliver his message to the people. And this message was for the people of God. Now, very briefly, what did this message consist of? Let's go back to Ezra chapter 7. It says it right there. And verse 10. Ezra 7:10. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Statutes and judgments. That's what he was teaching. What are statutes? Well, the word in Hebrew, what it means is an ordinance, a limit. Okay? Something prescribed, a boundary that it has been set forth. In other words, God says, this is the line that I'm drawing here. Don't pass it. That's it. Very simple. Don't pass it. The problem is that most of us just want to pass the line to see what happens. And that's when we get in trouble. But that's a statute. It's a limit. But it also says that he teach the statutes and judgments. And judgments is the word mishpah in Hebrew. And a judgment, what it means is the act of deciding a case. Or deciding a process. It's a procedure. It's a decision. An execution, execution of a judgment. A verdict. So, what he was teaching? Well, he was teaching that God says that this is where this is the line. Don't cross it. Don't pass it. You're going to be fine on this side. But this is what's going to happen. These are the judgments if you pass the line. Which they already had a lot of experience with in the first place. They were coming back from deportation and the temple was destroyed. And basically, God judged them because of 490 years of disobedience. And if you do the math, 490, it was captivity was 70 years. So each year was, every 7 years, they were supposed to let the land rest, and they did not. So God came and he got back what he intended to. I mean, they 7 years passed, 6 years, and they were supposed to rest the land for the seventh year. And then start over again 6 years, and they never did that. So in the 490 years, there were 70 years that they did not let the land rest. And God said, well, you know what? now the land is going to rest 70 years, which you owe me. And they were kept in captivity for all those years. Okay? But this man came back. Like I said at the beginning, his purpose was on a spiritual level, and he had to come back and just, well, he has been called the second Moses, because he stood up in front of the people and read the law of God, which basically what Moses did. But why he was doing that? Because he was basically saying, listen, God said this, if we don't pass that line, we're going to be okay. But if we pass that line, then the judgment of God is going to come. That was his message, statutes and judgments. So he had prepared himself to make sure that the people of Israel would hear and understand the word of God, as we read. And they did. And this is the last verse that we're going to read. Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah again, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 13. And on the second day, they were gathered together, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord hath commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths, okay, in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as is it written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And listen what 17 says. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booth, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. Okay? We're talking about here a centuries time frame. Centuries. And there was very great gladness. So he went over there. They went to listen to him. He taught them the scriptures, and they found in the scriptures what they were supposed to do, which they haven't been doing as a people for many, many, many years. And he explained to them, we need to start doing this. And the people said, let's do it. It's a revival. It is a revival. And look what it says at the end of the verse 17. And there was very great gladness. Everybody was happy. Why? Because they were obeying God. Amen. So he was there to make sure that the people hear and understand the word, and they did understand it and put it into practice. And I think that is a successful ministry. Why? Because a man prepared his soul and didn't let anything to corrupt it for the service of the Lord. And I think that all of us should live like that. So in conclusion, the scribe prepared his soul in order to study God's word to deliver his message to the people. The Israelites needed someone to lead them back to the old ways, the ways of God. And today, the same thing is happening all around us. People just need for us to go and lead them to the old ways. The first things. But we're going to be effective doing that if we prepare our souls, just like the Bible says. And for that, we need sacrifice. Flesh has to go out, and the spirit has to come in. And just, we need to let ourselves be controlled by the Holy Spirit and be filled by the Spirit and let God use us in a mighty way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this this time and the things that we have read tonight. And we just pray that each and every one of us here may make decisions in our lives regarding our Christian life. And I do believe that each and every one of us has, at some level, need to make a decision for the Lord tonight. And I pray that you help us to keep ourselves pure and away from things that corrupt our souls. Thank you for the example of this man and for the way that he loved you. And it is recorded in Scripture how you used him because of his love for you. Thank you for this church, the families. Thank you for your mercies. And I just pray that you work in each heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Under number four. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Thank you, Father God, for what we hear at this church, Lord God. Thank you that we have the Word of God preached here, Lord God, that we don't have a religion, although if we're not careful, it can become just a religion to us, Lord God, as we go through the motions. But, Father God, the message brought to us tonight was to prepare our hearts. And, Father God, we all need to do some plowing in our hearts, and we all need to plow up that fallow ground, Lord, and, Lord, to fill ourselves with the Word of God, that we can go out of this church to be witnesses in the city of Erie and the surrounding areas and wherever it is that we go, Father God, that we can take the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready to give an answer to those that ask us, Lord, because there's a lot of people asking in their hearts, Father God. Lord God, if there's someone here watching or listening who has never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've broken God's laws, they know it, they know they're guilty, they know that there's nothing, well, maybe they believe there's something that they can do to get themselves to heaven, but Father God, your word is plain from beginning to end, that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to gain eternal life and to have entrance into heaven and to spend eternity with the God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. Father God, please show them plainly their need of salvation, show them their guilt, and then show them the Savior that will save their souls. And we'll praise you and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close with one verse of 8:12. 8:12, I think we know that one. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming.
Praise God!
He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You are dismissed.